Today we're going to go another step in the series of Unlocked. Everybody say Unlocked. Unlocked. And the title today will be Breaking the Invisible Locks. Breaking the Invisible Locks. I want us to deal with, for a moment, what we can't see. What we can't see. See, most of us know what locks look like, don't we? We understand what a deadbolt is. We understand what a padlock is. We understand what a key is. We understand when we were in school, we always had that thing that we kept forgetting the combination locks. You remember those? I mean, spin them three times this way and one time that way. But those locks all worked with certain things. But the most powerful locks in our lives don't look like anything at all. They're unseen. Most powerful locks are those locks that are unseen. Locks that you have, locks that I have, they're unseen. Every piece, let me just clarify that. Every piece, so you can see what is in, for a moment, the unseen. Every piece of digital information you have, every photo, how many of y'all have got a phone full of photos? Every photo, every bank account, every text message is protected by a binary code. Everything you have, you got your computer, is protected by a binary code. Now, you can't touch that code. You can't touch it. And you can't see it. You can't really see the code. All you see is ones and zeros. That's all you see. But it's there. And if the code is wrong, how many of you have ever tried to get into your phone or your computer? Someone here last week, a sister, Burdette, I think. Are you here today, Sister Burdette? Did you ever get in your car? She had to have the what? The code. And if you don't have the code, you're in trouble. I can't manufacture it. Somebody else can't walk up and say, well, this is the code. You have to know the code. If you get it wrong, you can have four, five, six numbers, but if you get it wrong, you're locked out completely. Because you only get so many opportunities and then you're locked out completely. How many people know that? So listen to this. You can be standing right in front of everything you need today. So there are things in our lives that we could be standing right in front of everything I need. You could be standing right in front of everything you need and still have no access. Are you getting this? Everybody listen to it carefully. There's things you are standing right in front of that you don't have access to, although it's right there in front of you. It's like standing in a machine with all those candies and chips and cookies, and they all look so good. But if you don't have that little code to put in, you're not going to get it. Although you can see it, you cannot get it. Because you can't have it because there's an internal lock. Internal lock. And that's how many people start their new year out. With a lot of internal locks. Let's look at that for a minute. You get new goals. How many of you have some new goals? New goals, new prayers, new hopes. But the problem is we keep the old internal locks. We want new prayers, new hopes, new goals, but the old internal locks. And we failed in this to identify those locks. We fail to unlock them. There's no chains. There's locks that you can see. You can't see them. But here's the issue. Thoughts are a lock. Fears are a lock. Memories are a lock. And labels are a lock. Those locks are real. How many of you have ever fallen into one of those? Let's raise my hand. Let's be honest. You're Christians, aren't you? Be honest. You've fallen into it. Some of the biggest locks in my life and in your life aren't physical. They are internal. Like what, Bishop? Fear, shame, old voices, things that quietly block us from our purpose and the plans that God has for us and our peace. It's blocking us. Well, hear this. God wants to break what you can't see, but what affects everything you do. He wants to break what you can't see, but affects everything you do. You can't see it, but it affects you. Let me take you to the scripture now. Lord, touch my sister. Isaiah 61, verse 1 in the New Living Translation. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Jesus read this. This is the Old Testament, but Jesus read it in the New Testament days. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Can I read that one more time? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hear their rephrase. For the Lord hath anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Here is some real insight about that verse. Notice something very important. Isaiah wasn't describing people behind bars. He wasn't talking about people incarcerated in prisons or in dungeons. These were internal captives, things that others could not see, captive by spirits. And he says, I'm going to release the brokenhearted, internal captive, the bound, imprisoned on the inside. Have you ever felt imprisoned on your inside? Oh, yeah, that's a powerful thing. What do you mean by that? You can be free on the outside and still be locked up within. Everything can look, my mama say, hunky-dory. All is well. But if you're locked up on the inside, you are not free. You can sing free at last all you want to, but if you're not free on the inside, you're not free. You're a slave to something. And that's fact. That's fact. But let's look for a moment at some invisible locks. Things that hinder me, hinder you. And the first lock that I'll deal with is that word that we all hate, fear. And I love the song that says, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. Let's look at this. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the New Living Translation. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Power and of love and a sound mind, King James Version says. Paul, watch this, Paul doesn't say fear is learned, Floyd. Notice that. He's not saying you learn fear. He says fear is received. It is a spirit. Fear is received. It's not something learned. It is a spirit that tries, Sonia, to attach itself to you. And if you allow it, it'll be a leech and a parasite and hook right onto you. That's fear. Fear becomes a lock when? When does it become a lock? Watch this. When fear controls your decisions. You have some decisions you want to make, but you're fearful of certain things, so you don't make the decision. You need to make it. Fear becomes a lock when it limits your obedience, when you know to do good, you know what's right, But fear locks you out from doing what you know to do. Amen? You know it. You know this is right. I need to do this. I need to be in the house of the Lord. And yet we always come up with other reasons why we can't. That's just one thing. That's just one thing. And then fear masks. What's this? This is powerful. Fear masks itself as safety, as spiritual insight. That's one of the most powerful thoughts. Fear masks itself as a safety, as a spiritual insight. We'll cover that in a minute. Let me just make some remarks here. Fear by itself isn't sin or weakness. It's not a sin or a weakness. It's a human response. Just what humans do. But it becomes, when you go through the process, it becomes a lock. And it's working internally. Something that traps you, something that restricts you. Especially when it starts shaping how you live instead of God's voice shaping you. Instead of God's voice shaping you, you're allowing it to shape you. Now we have a problem. Now we walk into an area of sin. Fear within itself is not the sin, but it's what you do with it. Are you seeing that? So let's unpack some of these thoughts about fear. And the reason I'm taking time with fear, because it's one of the most important things we have. It's like what happened with my sister here. People go through fear. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. There is no fear in that. The Bible says there's no fear in love. There's no fear when the Holy Spirit's in the room. There's no fear to step out when you know what you're stepping out on. The only thing I have to step out on today is the Holy Spirit. And that's enough. And that's enough. Okay, let's look at this. Fear often sounds responsible. I want to be responsible. Something, Steve, you've never encountered. Fear often sounds responsible. In other words, I'll step out when I feel more secure. When I feel more secure, I'll step out. Fear says, I don't want to fail again, so I'm not going to do it because I don't want to fail. But how many people know if you don't fail, you'll never learn? It's what we were talking about, Sonia, earlier. If you don't go through some things, you don't learn. Now, if you don't learn from it, now you have a problem. But we can't keep worrying about failing again because you will never get to victory until you fail a few times. Because you learn, there's a process of learning that gets you over the line of the victory goal. Amen? Amen. Or we say because of fear, what if I lose what I have? I could preach that, but I'm not going to. What if I lose what I have? How about the widow that had of Zarephath that had just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and the prophet Elijah asked for it? Do you understand? What if she said, I don't want to lose what I have? She would not have gotten. I think the Bible says it was about, she had that for many, 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 several years, I thought, or a year or so, whatever it was. I have to go back through it. But you understand, she had a long time that the wheat, the grain, the flour didn't run out. The oil did not run out. So fear, Jason, fear rarely stands up in your life and says, I'm fear. It's not going to identify itself. I'm fear. No, no, no. It says, I'm wisdom. Fear says, I'm wisdom. It's disguised. Fear is disguised as wisdom or spiritual insight. People say, well, that's just not in my spirit. Well, it may not be in your spirit, but if God has said it, it better be in your spirit. If it's what God has taught us, we better walk in those teachings. But fear doesn't protect you. All these things we go through and the fear we go through, it doesn't protect you. It imprisons you. It locks you up. It keeps you from what you can accomplish. How many of you have some things you want to accomplish in 2026? Do you understand? If we walk in fear, we're not going to achieve it. I'm not going to fear those things. You know, like I said, it's a human response to have some fear. I understand that. But perfect love casteth out fear. I'm going to perfectly love him so much that I'll be able to step into wherever he wants me to step. And hopefully you do too. Think on this for a moment. The moment fear loses power, here's the moment when fear loses power in your life, is when you name it. When you name it, you put the label on the fear. When you say this, this fear I'm feeling, this is not discernment. See, people throw it off on discernment. This is not discernment, this is fear. You name it. And then you say, this fear that I have felt that is not discernment, it doesn't have the opportunity, Randy, to drive me anymore. It doesn't have the wheel of my life anymore. I'm not going to let it steer me anymore. You start naming it, and fear starts to dissolve. I mean, you may have a big court case. You can't fear the big court case. It's whether it be a big court case or a little court case, it's all court case. You can't fear it. You have to walk through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm going to keep walking. I'm not going to set up a tent. I'm going to praise God. I'm not going to let fear drive me. I'm not going to let fear consume me. Although I felt fear before, sure, I'm sure all of us have felt it, but the truth of the matter is we can overcome it through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. So we name it. It will not drive me anymore. You see, fear, we get a lot of different fears working. Fear of man locks you inside, locks you inside what you can control. Does that make sense to anybody? Fear locks inside you what you can control. It keeps you from doing what you can do, what you can accomplish. Does that make sense? You know you can do it, but something fear says, I can't. It's like a kid when you said, you can jump in the pool and you're going, but you never jump. Why? Fear. But you can do it. It locks you and keeps you from jumping into the pool where you could have a good time. Fear will keep you from having a good time. So you have the fear of man, and then we hear about the fear of the Lord, which is totally two different fears. Fear of the Lord is reverencing the Lord. But the fear of the Lord unlocks the protection you cannot create. It unlocks the protection that you cannot create. So that's lock number one, fear. We have to deal with it in 2026. We can't fear what's coming on. The next lock I want to deal with is shame. Everybody say shame. Did you ever hear your mom and my dad say, shame on you? Now, this is key. Shame isn't about what you did. It's about what you believe you are. Because what you believe you are, you is. I'm speaking from Popeye now. If you can believe it, that's what you are. That's who you've become. Let me say it again. Shame isn't about what you did. It's about who you believe you are. Let me give you an illustration. Shame is like serving time for a crime. Is anybody? Well, no, I want to ask that. Have you ever gone to jail and served time for a crime? So it's like serving time. Valerie, it's like serving time. Now, the judge has given, you've served your time and you've served it out. And now it's been forgiven because you served the time. Are you with me now? But here's like, what shame does he? The judge has declared you free, right? For you lawyers in the house, the judge says you're free. Are you free or you're not? You served your time. But in all that, every day, you keep reporting to the cell. You keep going back to the cell. This is what shame will do to you. What do you mean? A mistake no one else remembers. This is the shame you carry. A mistake nobody else remembers, you remember it. You don't know what I did. I don't care what you did. I care what you're doing, not what you did. I'm going to get excited in a moment and start to preach. Or a failure God has already redeemed. If he's already redeemed you, washed you, cleansed you, then why don't you, I would say a bad word here, but why don't you just forget it? Either he erased it or he didn't. He said, I'll separate it as far as the east is from the west. I'll make it as white as snow. Now, either he does or he doesn't. See, I serve a God that forgives to the uttermost, to the guttermost. He always forgives. Amen? Amen. So we see it. We keep reporting to a cell. We start remembering mistakes no one else remembers but yourself. A failure God has already redeemed, but we refuse to forget it. A season you survived but never released. How many of you have gone through some seasons? Well, listen, after you've survived it, get the hell over it. Excuse me. Alabama just came out in me. But that's just fact. Why don't you get over it? You came through that season. You battled through that season. You warred through that season. You prayed through that season. You fasted through that season. You were anxious through that season. Now what? Move on. Move on. There you go. Just move on. Don't keep going back and saying, well, you know, back when I had cancer. You better forget that. You don't have it. You're making ownership. You don't have it. It's not yours. Back when I had headaches, you don't have headaches. It's not, I don't accept that. Are y'all with me on this now? Let it go. If you've survived the season, get over it. If you don't release it, it's still that season that's in the back of your mind. Am I right or wrong? We've all done it. And then shame starts to whisper. How many people know shame whispers? Not Shane, shame. Shame whispers, you'll always be this way. You'll always be this way. Then it says, you have disqualified yourself. I had somebody tell me that years ago in ministry. The only person that can disqualify me is God Almighty. You can't care what people think. If you cared what people thought, let me tell you something. You can end up being crucified. It'll whisper, you disqualified yourself. It'll say, God may forgive. Now remember this, because shame understands this. Your God may forgive you. I believe that. God may forgive, but he won't trust you again. Now hear me. That voice, sissy, is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. That voice is a liar. Shame also is a liar. It's trying to keep you from your destiny, from your purpose, from the plan of God for you. Listen, my uncle just died. He was very prominent in my life. But he fell and broke his arm in three places. The They couldn't do an operation on him because his sugar level was too high. Why was his sugar level too high? Because he would not adhere to certain things. So what happened to him? Why did he die? Well, on Christmas Eve, he decided he'd quit eating and drinking. So he made a decision. He listened to some voice. Was that God's plan? I don't think it was. I think it was his plan. Well, I could get further into that, but I won't right now. Because we listen to these voices that are not God's voice at all. It's not the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit whispers, you know it. You know it. So what have we gone through so far? Fear, shame. Let me give you the third one, and I won't go any further than the third one, except if I feel like it. Old voices. So what we have to do is find out what is the loudest old voice in your life. Think about it for a second. What's the loudest old voice in your life? You keep hearing it over and over and over and over. How many people know women don't forget nothing? I got two hands over here and one person. Maybe it was certain things. Jason, you were smart. You didn't say nothing. Maybe that voice is a parent who never affirmed you. They never saw your value. How many people had, well, I want to ask you, but you had a parent that really didn't see who you were. They never understood you. I saw that hand. Or maybe it was a coach or a teacher or maybe some loved one that labeled you. Has anybody in here ever been labeled before? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, now we're getting somewhere. Maybe it was a failure that still introduces yourself before you do. A failure that introduces itself before you do. It's always there projecting, always there trying to communicate who you are, what you're all about. Isn't that terrible? But that's what this does. Hear this. Here's the problem. Herein lies this great problem, as I thought about it early this morning. You don't just hear old voices. That's one issue. You don't just hear old voices. It's when you start to agree with them. They start talking and you start walking. You start believing. You take it as the law and the gospel. And let me tell you this. When you start to agree, Randy, agreement is how the locks stay locked. Agreement is how the locks stay closed because you're agreeing with it. But I read this in John 8:36 in the New Living Translation. So if the Son sets you free, we're talking about Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Whom the Son sets free, you've been free indeed. King James. Jesus doesn't just unlock from the outside. Watch this. Jesus doesn't unlock from the outside in. From the outside in. Jesus doesn't unlock it that way. Jesus frees from the inside out. You catching that? From the inside out, that's the way Jesus works. Not just your behavior. It's not just your behavior. He deals with your identity. Not just your habits, Jason. He deals with your heart. How many of you felt the Lord touch your heart before? You know what I'm talking about. Your central thinking process. He touches it. But we forget. These things are real in our life. I'm only going to cover 3 points of that today. But we forget sometimes that we've been released and set free. Am I right or wrong? We're still walking around like this. Does anybody know what that is? And they're not free. They're chained up. What about those chains? We forgot we were wearing. Acts the 12th chapter, verse 6. Here is Peter. He's been locked up. The great apostle. They'd already killed a couple of other disciples. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Acts 12, 6, 7, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. The man was incarcerated. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared. I love this. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side. What was Peter doing? Sleeping. Struck him on the side and woke him up. Now, if an angel struck me on the side in the middle of the night, y'all be having a hole digging a sing. No. You understand? That would be shocking, wouldn't it? Struck him on the side and woke him up. He said, quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Peter is asleep in the prison. An angel shows up. Chains fall off. But here's what's powerful about this message. Peter didn't even realize how bound he was. He thought it was just a vision. If you read on in there, he thought he was just seeing a vision. But it was happening in reality. He thought it was just a vision until freedom showed up. Let me show you Acts 12, 11. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. Now he knows. A lot of us don't realize the chains have fallen off of us. The locks are gone. But we still walk like this. We still act like we're incarcerated. We still like we can't go anywhere. And then we think it's just, oh, it must be a dream. It must be a vision. No, God's gotten you out of it. You got yourself in it, but God can get you out of it. Amen? I'm almost through. I'm almost through. You feeling good now? Look good. Some of us have been wearing chains and locks so long that they start to feel normal. It's like a dog. If you always have it on a leash, it sometimes you can take that leash off. They don't know it's off the leash. All you have to do is stand there and act like you've got the leash in your hand, and they just think they're locked up. Some dogs. Not my dogs wouldn't do that, but some dogs will do that because they don't know. You can leave the cage door open, and they won't come out because they're in the cage, and they think that's where they have to be. Are you with me now? We've been wearing chains, Randy, so long, we don't know. We've made it the norm. Here's the good news. Jesus doesn't ask you to break those chains. He'll break them for you. I heard my grandfather singing that song early this morning in my mind. He was my father's father. He spoke in broken English because he was Armenian. And he was singing, Jesus breaks every fetter, which means every lock, every chain. Jesus breaks every fetter. I remember him singing it. Jesus breaks every fetter because he cares for me. Jesus will break every fetter in your life. He will break them for you. So how do we live this unlocked life? That's what we're dealing with in the Unlocked series. Start to identify the lock in your life. Identify it. How do we do that? I want you to ask God plainly, what internal lock is controlling me right now? What's controlling me? Find out what's controlling you. Ask him, he'll show you. Is it fear? Is it shame? Is it old voices? Is it voice from the past? What is it? And then here's the key, and Floyd will like this. The key is you pray scripture over those things. What do you mean by that? Replace the lie with truth. You're sick? No, I'm not. He's healed me by his stripes. You see, replace the lie with truth. You got fear? He says, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You got shame? He says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. You understand it? So you start throwing it back at it. Fear, shame. And then old voices, if the Son sets me free, I'm free indeed. You start throwing it back. You start speaking life instead of speaking death. I'm never going to make it. No, you won't. I'm never going to be well. You certainly won't. I believe I'm going to die. Get ready. You can think yourself into the grave. Scientific, if my doctor was here, he'd tell you. You can literally think yourself into death. Then after you've identified it, you've qualified it, you've spoken the prayers over it, then here's something that a lot of people have a problem with. I don't have a problem with it. Share that struggle with a prayer partner and maybe just the Holy Spirit. But share it. And I'm going to tell you why. Locks thrive on secrecy. As long as it's a secret, it can stay locked. Freedom, Christian, grows in light. Freedom grows in light. You don't need a crowd. If I just had a crowd. No, you don't need a crowd. You just need one safe person. I believe in the Holy Spirit there. But that somebody can pray with you and believe and trust God with you. Amen? Have you ever shared something with somebody very close to you, your husband, your wife? So you share it. The enemy doesn't like it. He wants it to be secret. He likes secrets. Then I want you to do this. I want you to start practice truth replacement. Practice truth replacement. What do you mean? Every fear-based thought must be answered with truth-based truth. You want to say it again? Every fear-based thought must be answered with truth-based truth. So what am I saying? Don't let lies go unanswered. When you hear it, answer it. Stop it. Defeat it. Don't let it overcome you. You overcome it. Don't let it tell you who you are. You tell it who you are. Whatever that is. What we need is the power that breaks what you can't see. We can't see it, but there's a power that can break it. You see, some locks don't need a key. They need power. They need power. Power that breaks fear, power that breaks shame, power that rewrites your identity. How many people would like that? I want the power to rewrite my identity. So here's a key. This isn't about trying harder. This is about trusting deeper. You can't try hard enough. You have to trust deeper. I want you to say this with me. I am not what fear says. I am not what my past says. I am who Jesus says I am. Again, I'm not what fear says. I am not what the past says. I am who Jesus says I am. So this year, 2026, there doesn't need to be more resolutions. Every year there's resolutions. I'm going to get skinny this year. No, you're just going to be fatter. Resolutions don't mean anything until you got to act upon it. I'm going to stop drinking this year as much. You see what I'm saying? We always put that little statement in there. I'm going to quit smoking this year, two packs. I'm going to go to one. You're not really quitting smoking or drinking or overeating or whatever you're doing. And that, we all have problems, but I'm going to tell you, it doesn't happen through resolutions. We don't need more resolutions. We need more freedom.
Yes. Amen.
We need freedom in 2026, and that'll take care of all those issues. Yeah. I want to be free in Jesus Christ. So if God is in your prayer showing you an invisible lock, this is the moment to let him break it. We're going to go into prayer in a moment. This is the moment to let him break that invisible lock. So let me remind you in closing, some locks don't need key. They don't need a key. They need God's power. They need God's power.